You're listening to The Daily Digestionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
Comrades, this is your host of The Daily Traditionalist, Matthew Heimbach, and I'm here today to be able to close out our week of our show with a discussion on what is going on within the alt-right. So, to be able to get a perspective on the alt-right, I'm going to my official alt-right whisperer, the meme master himself, Mr. Tony Hovater. Tony, how are you doing today?
Pretty well. Still recovering from Thanksgiving and several stolen memes. How are you?
I am doing absolutely fantastic. It's just a wild ride. It's a wild ride. That's all I can say. And the fact that when I say the phrase wild ride, I think of Mr. Toad's wild ride, brings us back to Kectum. So it all kind of comes together.
Yeah, it's all related, isn't it?
Oh, 100%. So, on this, I want to just get your knee-jerk, I'm going to do a word association, then get your first knee-jerk reaction. Heilergate. AKA Richard Spencer and the NPI conference. Give me your first knee-jerk reaction, then we're going to dig into it a little bit more.
Hilarious and based. What's yours?
It was actually going to be then based and hilarious, so.
It works out.
So it all kind of comes together on that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, so let's break this down, because I have seen, it's absolutely amazing, I have never seen people get more terrified over so little, since I was babysitting, like, the neighbor kids back when I was a teenager, and they would get scared of the dark. It doesn't comprehend anything to me, because we're talking about guys, like men like us, grown-ass men, some of them married, some of them not, but like, with jobs and, like, normal members of society, we're talking about somewhat normal people, right? And they're getting fashy haircuts. They're getting actual Hitler Youth haircuts on top of their heads. And, going to a conference. And someone throws up a Roman salute as they're wearing a National Socialist haircut in many cases, talking about how fashy they are. Then they lose their minds. So explain to me what's going on here. Because to me, it doesn't exactly make a whole lot of sense. Unless this has just been a massive joke. Now, no doubt, things are hilarious. Love it to death. But was this, to this alt-light faction, was this just a joke the past 12 months?
I think a lot of it, I mean, everybody's trying to be edgy and, be more edgy than the next guy and everything. But this kind of showed, like, there is actually a real-life hard line here, and there's people that take it serious. Like Richard Spencer, especially, like in every one of his speeches, he's dog whistling Hitler quotes, like left and right. Like it's not. I didn't think it was a secret. I didn't think this was something that we didn't know. But apparently, like all these things that everybody's clapping along with and agreeing with, apparently, if you do a physical manifestation of those words, it's over. They're absolutely triggered.
Well, I just don't get it. I mean, we're talking about fighting the international Jewish system, people that are demographically displacing us, people that hate us. The media is nothing but a lying press. It is the epitome of everything that is evil in this world. The enemy is trying to open our borders. People from around the world are coming to kill us, to kill our families through terrorist acts and through random street violence. And the system and the establishment, from our corrupt politicians, everyone is aiding and abetting this corrupt system. And we're going to turn on our comrades over a Roman salute. It doesn't seem like people were putting this in the proper context.
No, that's what's really funny. Like, it isn't a game. And I don't think the left is ever going to agree with us on a single thing. Like, we've already seen that. They already called everybody Nazis, and they're like, haha. We have proof because of the things you guys say, what you read, what you do. But now everybody's all black-pilled thinking that this is the end because, like, five people, two of which were Jewish, I believe, did a Heil there. Doesn't seem like that big a deal.
That's what I've been saying this entire time. And, Yeah, I want to dig into this concept of the right never retrieves its wounded. Because, look, I've been a public activist, you've been a public activist. You're not always batting 1,000, and that's just the way things are, because we're all human, and we all learn, we all get better, we all work as a team. But sometimes, and I'm not even saying that the Heilergate, as I've been lovingly calling it, was not a mistake, and I think it's awesome, and should be done all the time. We should end all of our speeches with Hail Victory. We should have, you know, not necessarily do the Roman salute in every circumstance, like when you order your sandwich at Subway, but you shouldn't be afraid to do it, and it should be encouraged, especially in that sort of environment, to have some physical manifestation of your excitement and loyalty to your comrades. But I just fundamentally am bamboozled on this idea that the right never takes care of its wounded. If you make a mistake, then instantly everyone turns on you. It becomes this horrific purity spiral about being better than someone else, and there's very little loyalty. And, you know, I'd like to think that in the Traditionalist Worker Party, again, people have known my differences with Richard, but I came to his defense in the circumstance, because I didn't think, first of all, I don't think he did anything wrong. Even if he had, you don't publicize your critiques of people within the movement. That's a family matter. You don't give the lying press more attention and more ammunition to be able to divide us and attack us. So what do you think of this concept of loyalty within the movement, that there does seem to be, as soon as someone's, you know, a little weakened or might have made a misstep, not even fallen down, just tripped a little bit, then the movement instantly turns on them?
It's like you're saying, it's a purity spiral. It's always trying to appeal to, you know, people who are constantly screaming at you and calling you a Nazi regardless. The thing is that the left always punches right, like, but the right does too, and that doesn't make any sense to me. It seems like we want to get our, you know, our ducks all in a row and keep things moving forward instead of trying to turn on each other constantly. The circular firing squad is what it's typically called, and that's what we're seeing right now.
Well, so how do we break this? How do we break these purity spirals over, you know, someone says something wrong, someone says something you mildly disagree with, and instead of trying to work cooperatively, people just absolutely lose their gosh darn minds. How do we begin to remedy the situation and promote a different culture? And that's really what it is. Our movement needs to have a different culture in how we interact and how we treat one another.
I don't even know how to go about it. It seems like it's something that would be so self-evident. Like, you can criticize people, you know, but there's a right way and a wrong way. And I think, you know, running to the BuzzFeed comment section and crying about it and calling those guys bad isn't the best way to do it. You know, we could all, like, the leaders of each little faction here could kind of talk about messaging and work together. And here's the thing, like, those guys, like, they weren't, like, you know, implicitly hailing Hitler. They were excited. Like, the Roman salute, like, in an American context, in the alt-right or new right or whatever we are, it's become, like, basically like a fuck you to the establishment, to the SJWs, you know, to the media. So, like, that's all that happened. And I think they know that. It's just people react, you know?
Well, I mean, it almost looks like people, I really think there are some folks that are just afraid of success. As things are moving forward, as we're gaining more ground, people want to schism and be able to slink away from the success while giving themselves moral superiority. Because now that we've won the meme war of 2016, we're talking about having to engage in public. We're talking about having to engage in politics further. We're talking about being there on the streets. And that is the next logical step that everyone's pretty much agreed with. And I do think some of this purity spiraling is false piety, as people are trying to justify slinking away and saying, oh, the alt-right has failed me. Oh, nationalism has failed me. They made, you know, one tactical error that I disagree with. And now I can go back to my mom's basement because it's not my fault. I'm not a coward. It's this other side, this other team that let the entire movement down. What do you think on that?
Oh, that's absolutely the case. Like, all the people that use, you know, fake pictures on Facebook, they don't use their name and stuff. A lot of those are the people that are, like, condemning the people that are condemning the people at MPI. And what's funny there is, like, by not using your name and face, you're basically saying you don't want to be associated with it. So you're doing what those people are doing. So why are we fighting about it? You're doing the same thing, guys.
Right, exactly. I mean, that's really the tragic thing. But this really helps us separate the wheat from the chaff, I think. Again, you have to agree with everything Richard Spencer's done or said, or NPI. Everyone knows I've got my critiques. And but at the same time, we're all fighting for the best interests of white people. And the enemy, the lying press, hates us all equally. They hate, if you are fighting for white interests, you are lumped in together with every other person fighting for white interests. So it's actually in our best interests to be able to help every member of our movement to be able to be better, to be able to be better advocates, because we're all lumped on the same boat. We're all in this together, and we all share the same destiny. So being able to be there and be supportive with one another, I think, is a really important thing. Now, question for you. They're trying to go ahead and stop the immortal victory of 2016. Jill Stein now, of course, 2% Jill, as I like to call her, has raised already $3.94 million to file for ballot recounts in Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, and looking to expand that to raise these millions of dollars to try and get Trump to lose. And this democracy thing, I'm obviously not a fan of it. In this case, it kind of turned out great, but of course, the defenders of democracy are now trying to do a do-over. So, what do you think on this? Jill Stein going ahead and collecting millions of dollars. God bless her on that for being able to bilk people out of all that money, because Lord knows probably some of that's just going to end up in the Green Party coffers. And I wouldn't even be mad at her for that, because good on her. But trying to do these recounts, what's up with that?
I assume this was just a fundraising scam. Like, is this how this works? You buy lawyers, you can infinitely recount things like post-election, like here's $5 more million, do another recount. Most states do several recounts, oddly enough, people take the election serious. So they make sure, they get it right. I think Michigan did like 3 recounts already, like just of their own accord. You know, Trump won. That's just how it is. You know, I saw a meme. It was like a chessboard where they were like, oh, well, you know, I have more pieces left. And even though I'm checkmated, don't you think that you should say that I won, even though we agreed on the rules before? It to me, it's just goofy. I think this was just a stunt to kind of get Jill Stein some more attention. And like you're saying, give some more money to the Green Party.
Well, I mean, good on her. You know, I can respect the Greenies more than I can respect the warmongering Democrats. But no, I mean, it's absolutely an insane policy. This idea, like, it's over, guys. You lost. This is not a hanging Chad ballot issue like Florida back in 2000, where there's like questions. We have electronic voting, and it's such a corrupt system. It's so easy to hack, but all of the machines are owned by like George Soros and his affiliates. So if there was going to be voter fraud, it would have been on the other side. Hillary Clinton lost not because of voter fraud, but in spite of it, where there's likely a huge amount of voter fraud to benefit her. I mean, we know the Democrats have been supportive of, registering dead people to vote and stuff like that. That's been going on around this country. Project Veritas has done a great job of being able to get actual Democratic leaders and party members to expose themselves, taking foreign donations and trying to do illegal registration. So I really don't think they want a recount, because if they did a recount and it was a fair and open, honest recount, and they really dug into things, I think it would damn the Democrats more than vindicate them in any sort of capacity.
Well, probably. I mean, here's the thing, like you're saying, several of the ballot booths are like, they're owned by George Soros. Everybody assumed that there was going to be voter fraud on that end. There's hundreds of videos of people pressing the DJT button there, and it just switches to Clinton all over the internet. This isn't like a fringe conspiracy. There's hundreds of videos. But then now it's Russian hackers that did it for Donald Trump, because that makes sense. Apparently Russian hackers are stronger than George Soros. Pretty based.
I love it. Well, actually, that brings on, so we actually have the European Union going ahead and saying that that Russia is doing this information war. The EU must respond to information warfare by Russia. And RT and Sputnik news agencies are alleged to be the most dangerous tools of hostile propaganda. We need to go ahead and go after this fake news. And it's really funny. I mean, I guess I've accidentally been gobbling up Russian propaganda. It's like that meme, you know, where the kid is with his mom and he's, you know, or Winnie the Pooh. That's actually the best one, you know, Winnie the Pooh, like, oh, this is great, honey. Like, oh, no, Pooh, that's Russian propaganda. And then he has, like, a bottle of vodka in his hand, you know. That's, I mean, it's amazing. They're basically saying anything on the political right, and I saw a breakdown of all the websites, everything from Daily Stormer to InfoWars to Russia Today to, like, a bunch of, like the Ron Paul Institute to things about, like, Federal Reserve and the corrupt media to Vigilant Citizen, you know, the guy that talks about the Illuminati symbolism in mass media. All of that apparently is the Kremlin. So I guess I've accidentally been just guzzling Russian propaganda forever, or the definition of Russian propaganda is just like people who agree with like the neoliberal agenda in the West. So what do you think on that, Tony? Because we've got MPs from all over the EU supporting this resolution to be able to counteract propaganda by third parties and stand up against Russia. And basically, it just seems like, you know, drowning rats fleeing a sinking ship, realizing that kind of the jig is up and the people know.
Well, yeah, I mean, what's the EU going to do anyway? Don't they get like 80 or 90% of their oil imports from Russia? Like, that doesn't that kind of make them like technically at a constant stalemate? Like, hey, Russia, stop doing that. Okay, we'll turn off the pipe. Like, oh, never mind.
Only our green policies didn't make it so we couldn't pump our own oil. No!
Yeah, exactly. It's stupid. You know, and like what I'm seeing too a lot, like from all the true media now, even though, you know, DNC leak showed us otherwise anyway. You know, they're talking about how Trump, he's going back on all of his promises and he's, you know, he's picking all these shills, you know. How they talk about how he's not going to go after Hillary, right? Well, you know, he's the president-elect now. Maybe he has information that we don't. Maybe he knows something about the Clinton Foundation. You know, maybe he doesn't need to appoint a special prosecutor. Maybe the new AG, Jeff Sessions, will. It's just stupid.
Well, you know, and I actually want to talk about Trump's appointments, too, because people are so dedicated, and I'm not trying to be a Trump fanboy here. I'm just trying to look at things objectively. But people just, you know, saying, oh, Trump betrayed us on this. And you need to just take a step back. Just a single step back on some of these things. Like, for instance, in South Carolina, Nikki Haley, Governor Nikki Haley. I hate Nikki Haley. She is horrible. Of course, she was the leading force behind the removal of the Confederate flag off of the State House grounds in South Carolina. She's really kind of a cuck on all these various issues. She's just bad politics. Her lieutenant governor is a pretty all right guy, an actual South Carolinian that has more traditional values. Good fella. So what's happened with Nikki Haley is she got an appointment to be the U.S. ambassador to the UN, and everyone I've seen the alt right and stuff has lost their minds about this, saying Trump betrayed us, Nikki Haley betrayed our heritage, she's a cuck, blah blah blah. And I took a second and took a step back and said, okay, so she's getting a position in this very important state. She's getting a position that is basically useless. It might have a great title. Your letterhead might be better than being a governor, but it's a basically useless, powerless position. And South Carolina's getting a more right-wing governor, which is great considering who our attorney general's going to be and the Black Lives Matter problems and stuff like, and illegal immigration problems that have happened in South Carolina. So putting a guy that's more supportive of, you know, Trump's immigration policy. And I think the lieutenant governor actually endorsed Trump pretty early on. So he's taking care of his loyalists. Like, that's actually a net win for South Carolina. Who cares who our UN ambassador is? Let's care about who is going to stand in the way of kicking out all of the illegal Mexicans. That's what I really care about. Having leadership in position that is not going to stand in Trump's way and actually back his play on a lot of things. So it seems like people with a lot of the complaints on what Trump is doing with his initial team is they just need to, like, take a breath, take a step back, and chill out and look that Trump, you know, again, he's not perfect. He's not one of us. And he's going to make mistakes, no doubt about that. But what it seems to me is most of the things people are complaining about are actually good things, are actually strategically wise decisions But it's almost like people just kind of like we're talking about the MPI Heilergate. People are just looking for there to be a problem to complain about.
Yeah, it's like these people have never watched Game of Thrones or House of Cards or something. House of Cards taught us the UN ambassador does nothing but piss off Russia over pointless issues. And hey, that's the norm, so nothing will change. Game of Thrones taught us, you know, you put people you don't like in positions that don't matter, so it's all good. He's just trying to win that Iron Throne there.
Well, it's just the thing that makes sense. This is called real politics, and for so long, I mean, I guess we've just been in the political wilderness. I mean, so many of our movement are millennials, ourselves included. And, of course, we were alive during the Bush administration, but in terms of, like, actively being engaged in politics, our first presidency really has been Barack Obama, in terms of being, you know, actively a part of the American political system, seeing its ramifications and the decisions of the president on our everyday lives, as adults. It really has been the Obama administration. So do you think that our side, for all the books we read, for all the autistic amounts of obscure esoteric Savitri Devi style books we read, that no one's just taken a second to be able to figure out how real politics works, like how you actually like govern a country, that isn't an autistic Facebook meme saying I will lead the way, follow me, I've got the plan for everything, instead of like things that involve cooperation and hard work and sacrifice and compromise. That's how governments accomplish things. Do you think we just, as especially millennials, just have never experienced being in any position of power, so we don't know how this works? We're just kind of throwing our spaghetti now all over the room.
Well, yeah, that's part of it. Like you're saying, a lot of us, are fairly new to politics. A lot of us even started with, like, Ron Paul, so, like, that's not even a legitimate ideology anyway. So, you know, we're just dwelling in ideology. You can read, Evola as much as you want, but right now we're more in, like, reading Kissinger would have made more sense, like, and we're talking about real-life things, so I don't know. You can dwell on your purity spiral all you want, but you actually have to think about what can happen policy-wise. How do you get, you know, to what you want? It takes steps. It's not an overnight thing. You know, everybody just needs to relax.
Yeah, no, I totally agree, and that's one of the long things we're working on, and it's going to continue on. And again, we've got to be building our political infrastructure. We've got to be building our trust within our community to be able to build our movement. But there's going to be stuff to critique Trump on. There's going to be stuff to be critical of Trump on. But just wait until there's actually something to complain about, people, and focus the energy into being more productive and into helping our cause. Speaking of, we as president now. So a Massachusetts college, Hampshire College, is not going to be flying the American flag anymore because they're going to acknowledge the grief and pain experienced by so many and enable the full complexity of voices and experiences to be heard. And they're not going to fly the American flag at all on campus. And because it's racist and white supremacist and they hate America. All this is great, whether it's like, they've now filed to get the signatures for a Calexit out with California to get out of our country. I love it, like when the left is like, yeah, America's like all racist and fascist and white supremacist, and Green Day told us so, no racist, no KKK, no Trump, all that stuff. It was great. So yeah, America's all fascist, and we're not a part of it anymore, and we want to get out. We talked about this last time, but they're going harder and harder. Like, great, just please get the hell out of my country, please. But what do you think on this? You've got like state institutions not flying the American flag when they get government money. That seems a little backwards to me.
That's absolutely Swedish, isn't it? No, Parrot actually talked about it. He posted something on Facebook. It was either today or yesterday about how people they're not going to come to our side because of anything that we're doing per se. The left is going to force their hand, like they're forcing them to pick a side. You know, they're drawing a line in the sand that if you like America, you're bad. So all these normie people that voted for Ted Cruz in the primary over Donald Trump, eventually are going to come to our side. And it's all going to be thanks to the left. So keep going, guys. Black Lives Matter forever.
Yeah. all all of it. America is truly a fascist government. The Red Hats, of which we are members, are going to be marching down your street soon. So yes, please secede from America. Just please take all those electoral votes and all those millions of people, and please just leave my country. That would be great. Like,
literally please. Ideal. Both sides agree on that.
Yeah, I mean, it really is better for everyone. You know, like sometimes the marriage just doesn't work out. Just you guys go your way in your absolutely paused, you know, orgy of multiculturalism, and we're just going to keep most of America and build that wall. So really, everybody wins.
Yeah, what's California going to do? You know, they don't have any water, and their main exports are, you know, Hollywood propaganda and men dressed as nuns blowing each other in the streets. How's that going to work out?
I'm pretty sure that I was told that California is like the eighth largest economy in the world, so they'd be just fine. America needs California, not the other way around. So I'm ready to take that challenge.
Yeah, they've been operating
the
in the red
challenge.
Forever, but they'll be fine.
I love it. I mean, can you just imagine if California leaves demographically, we'd go back to like 1985, like instantaneously.
Yeah, we Reagan now. Yeah, exactly.
The battle wouldn't be won, but by golly, would that be a positive push? Yeah. Okay, so talking as our last story for the day, talking about things that Trump has already done. Donald Trump was meeting with the folks behind iPhone and talking about going ahead and wanting to bring the factories home to be able to make iPhones, about some having deregulation, wanting to make it more, you know, American business more competitive. But deregulation must be coupled not just in making it easier for companies to make money in the United States, but with bringing actual jobs home and where you're going to be paying taxes and things like that. And apparently it was a very positive conversation that Donald Trump was having, talking to one of the largest tech manufacturers in the world about bringing their factories from China and Korea and Vietnam here to the United States. So I'm going to, you know, it's not won until it actually happens. But that seems to be a pretty good step right now, where he's really talking about getting companies to actually bring hundreds of thousands and millions of jobs home.
Yeah, no, and he was saying something about that carrier, the air conditioning plant, same thing. Not until we get Oreos back will I actually be happy. But, you know, yeah, this is very good stuff. I'm glad to see it.
Everything's winning. Are you tired? How tired are you right now? Is the tryptophan still going on, or are you just tired of winning?
I'm sick of winning. Trump, please, we gotta lose, please. Just not so much. Come on.
Well, I mean, everything's going great, and again, it's just marching forward. The hysterics over the past week. I mean, the fact that video by The Atlantic about the MPI conference, almost 50 million views. 50 million views. Out of this world. Absolutely crazy. And to where the left is actually going around thinking that the fascist revolution, we already won. Like, we can take up, we always talk about it, we can make Warhammer 40K models. Oh, by the way, last thing before we do our final thought, the hilarious thing, talking about how Warhammer 40K, first of all, is great, but also, you know, it's become a meme within the alt-right, and actually having articles written now about how they're basically only fascists support the Warhammer 40K universe. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Oh, it's just absolutely hilarious. And I'm sure, honestly, Games Workshop is seeing a big bump in their sales from all of this nonsense. It's just goofy. There's some YouTube channel, some guy was like reading the articles about it, and he's just dying laughing the whole time because it's just so absurd. Like, They lost so soundly, like they got so thoroughly rejected on all fronts that now they're attacking miniature warfare. Like, get out of here.
Leave me and my 20-sided die alone, bro. No, it's great and everything. You know, they're losing their minds, and that's a good thing for us. So go ahead, Tony, and give us a final thought for the day. Some wise wisdom to bring us into the weekend.
Everybody just, you know, let's chill, stop the blackpilling, all this knee-jerk stuff, you know, let's cool it. Hail Trump, hail our people, and hail victory.
I love it. I love it. You're 100% right. We need to be able to close ranks, never leave a fallen comrade. We're all in this together. Even if you disagree with somebody, we're all in this together. That's what the Jews think. That's the Lion Press thinks. We need to stand together. So let's have some solidarity. Let's keep winning. Let's keep pushing forward. And Tony, I just want to thank you for being here today. And the Emperor protects. And hail victory!
You've been tuned into The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at RadioArea.com.